Okay, good morning, Bruce Rabbi Crown. We are on Sadik Zion Amid Aleph at the very bottom by the Mishnah. So let's review the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said that an almana, a widow, bein mina erusin, bein mina suin, whether she was widowed after the first part of marriage, known as erusin, or from the full marriage, known as a suin, mocheres shel bevezin, she's allowed to sell the property of her husband who passed away from the estate without having to go through Bezdin. And there's a different opinion, which is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon omer mina nesuin, if she's widowed after completing marriage through nesuin, mocher shel bevezdin, she's allowed to sell it without having to go through bezdin. Mina erusin lo timchor el bevezdin, she has to go through bezdin in order to sell it, because yipnei she'en la mazonos, because you only get mazonos once, the typical sustenance, once you complete the full marriage, not just from erusin. So someone who is widowed out of erusin would only get the ksuba, not mazonos, and someone who's widowed after nesuin would get both mazonos and ksuba. And we had learned previously, or we had discussed previously, that when it comes to mazonos, they're allowed to sell property without going through the court. And primarily this is because, she needs that her day-to-day living. So she can't wait. You can't expect her to say, get on the docket of the court, a month from now to get her funding that she's going to need to pay for her, meals for the next week. The chol she'en la mazonos, but anyone who doesn't have mazonos, which again is the case here we're talking about, is from erusin. There's no mazonos there, but it would apply to other cases. Lo simchor el bevezin. So the first opinion says, regardless of whether the widow is from erusin or nesuin, she can sell without going through bezdin. Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction based upon whether we're talking about mazonos or whether we're talking about mazonos and ksuba. If it's just ksuba, he would say, and that applies in the case of someone who's widowed from erusin, that he would say that that part has to go through court. Okay, so a bit now going to the Gemara. Gemara says, is going to talk about the first opinion, which is that it applies in either case. Bishlam amina nesuin, it makes sense. We can understand that when it's a full marriage, mishum mizonet, because she needs the sustenance. She needs her day-to-day pocket money. Elamina erusin, my time. Why does the first opinion say that from erusin also she doesn't have to go through the court? Amra'ula mishum chlina, that you don't want her to get an, you don't want her and women in general to get a negative opinion about marriage. So we're afraid that if they have to go through this whole process of going to the court to collect, they'll be less inclined to want to get married as a result. So you're afraid that you want her to continue to have favor, to view favorably the concept of marriage. And Rabbi Yochanan Omer Amar Lefisha Ein Adam Rotze Shetibaze Ishto Bevezin. He says a different answer. His answer is that the husband doesn't want his wife to have to go through the situation of having to appear in court. It's difficult for her, it's disgraceful for her to have to go to court. He doesn't want that to happen. So the two opinions, Ula says it's because of Chlina, meaning that, the view of marriage. And Rabbi Yochanan says that he doesn't want to embarrass his wife. So my Binayu, what's the difference in these two opinions? Iku Binayu Grish Grusha, maybe the case of a divorcee. So a divorcee, Laman the Amr Misham Chlina, if you're saying because of the view of the of whether women will be favorable about getting married, that makes sense. Grusha nami ba'ile, someone who's divorced also, it makes sense to say that you don't want women to think if they get divorced, they're going to have to do this, and therefore they're not going to want to get married. However, but if you're going to say that the concern here is about the husband doesn't want the wife to have to go through Bezdin, Grusha ikhbala, he's divorced her. He doesn't care about her, right? He doesn't care that she goes through the court. So in this case, it's different from a widow. A divorcee, he's separated from his wife, so he's not going to bother him that his wife has to go through the court. So maybe that's the difference. So now we're continuing to talk about Rav Yochanan's opinion about that the man doesn't want his wife to go through the court. Tanan, the grusha lo timkar el bevezdin, and the divorcee is only able to sell by going to court. Bishlam alamanda amra fisha ein adam rosa shabasa ishto bevezdin. It makes sense, again, his opinion, Rabbi Yochanan, because if we're going to say that the reason of not having to go to court is because of concern that, you know, you don't want to have to put the wife through it. Grushel Iqbal, he doesn't care about his you know, ex-wife having to go to court. Elamad Amar Mishum China, but to the one who says that it's because of China, about, you know, that she should view favorably getting married. Grushanami Bayichlein. So the divorcee as well needs chayin. So why does Rav Yochanan, how does this fit with Rav Yochanan versus Ula in these cases? So again, Ula said, just to remind ourselves, Ula said chayin, and Rav Yochanan said about not wanting to the wife to not want to go to court. So in this case, if you're talking about a grusha, a divorcee, she also should require chayin. So why? How does that work with Ula's opinion? Hamane. So whose Mishnah are we talking about here when we say that that the someone who's divorced has to go through the court to get approval? Rabbi Shimon. It's Rabbi Shimon. And again, we're going to talk about, just to set the stage, we're going to talk about two Mishnahs. One is the Mishnah we just read, and the other Mishnah is the one that's later down on the same page that we're on. And later down on the same page that we're on, if you look at the very last line of that Mishnah, it says Grusha lo timkar el bevezdin, right? So it says right there that the divorcee doesn't get her stuff except by going through Bezdin. So we're going to talk about the difference between these two Mishnayos, the one in Amud Aleph and the one in Amud Beis. So we say that this opinion is Rabbi Shimon. E Rabbi Shimon. If we say that this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that a divorcee does not have to a divorcee can only collect by going to the court. Hanatan le Reisha. So the earlier Mishnah that we learned, you know, 5 minutes ago on Amud Aleph, it says at the end of that Mishnah, the Rabbi Shimon's opinion is Kol She'ein La Mizonos, anyone who does not get the sustenance, right? So that applies. Hanatan le Reisha, meaning Erisim lo Timkra. He says in the case of someone who gets divorced after having Arison, in that case, she has to go through the court, because that only applies to someone who's going to get the ongoing support. So that should be enough to show this view. So why would Rabbi Shimon and this other Mishnah have to be the one that says it? And Grusha also goes through the same situation. So, right, because it seems to be the same thing, right? So Mahu Detema. So if we didn't learn in the Mishnah that's later on about the person getting divorced, Almana mina erasinhi, we might have said that the difference of a case is the case of someone who is an almana from erasin, not from nisuin, and we said the almana from the erasin needs to go through the court. That we're not worried that we don't say that the situation of china would apply to her, because. It's because she wasn't really married. She was only went through the initial part of Arison. So therefore, you don't worry so much about China. Alva Grusha, someone who's divorced, did nafish hein Chida, that we'd want her to feel the view of Chida, right? Because she went through marriage. And again, the whole concept is you don't want women to think, oh, I don't want to get married because I might get divorced and I have to go through this whole thing. Emeti bayin, that maybe then Rabbi Shimon would find it necessary to specifically call out that she needs to be excluded. So ha nami tanina, but this too we could learn that someone who we could say that we learned it earlier in that same Mishnah. Again, this is trying to say, why do we need it in the later Mishnah when we have it in the earlier Mishnah? Because the earlier Mishnah said kol she'ein la mizonos, anyone who's not eligible to receive mizonos. So, and who are those cases? Who doesn't get mizonos? Either the one from Arison as well as the one from a divorcee, right? So asui mai. So if he's saying this again, what is he trying to say? Lava asui grusha. Maybe he's coming to talk about someone who is a grusha from the full marriage, to teach that she also can't. She also has to go through the court to get her money, right? So again, maybe it's coming to specifically call that out. So lo, maybe that's lo. So the Gemara doesn't like this. Lasui migureshes v'edig migureshes. But really, why he has that needs the second case is to talk about a situation where a woman is both divorced and not divorced. How could someone be divorced and not divorced? This is talking about where it's a suffix, right? When there's a suffix, so someone, you know, this when you learn git and you talk about if someone of a husband takes a get and he throws it to the wife in the Rishus HaRabim, and it's a question of whether the divorce of the document is closer to him or closer to her. So there might be a suffix about whether she's divorced or not divorced. So someone who is in that case, we're not clear about it. And Kedrabi Zera, and that rule follows Rabbi Zera, the Amar Rabbi Zera, Kol Makom Sha'amar Migureshes or Anim Migureshes. In that case, where you say that someone is questionably divorced, Baal Chayevim in his own asel. So this is different because, on a regular divorcee, because the husband is still required to give her mizonos. So since he's requiring to give her mizonos, it's a different situation. So you have the first mission that said was Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon says that anyone who does not get mizonos has to go through the court, right? So if you need mizonos, you don't have to go through the court. If you're only getting your ksuba, you have to go to the court. And this other mishnah says, it seems, you know, the last part that we're going to learn in a minute, it talks about grusha lo timkar el bevez, and it specifically calls out a grusha. So the reason is that there's a difference, because what this case of divorced and not divorced. So tashma, so we're going to learn another baraisa. Kishem shemocheresh lo bevezdin, just like the widow can sell her husband's estate to get her ksuba without going to the court, kach yorsheha, the same would apply to the heirs of the woman. Yorshe ksuvasa, the ones who inherit the ksuba, mochrim shelo bevezdin, they're allowed to sell it without going to bezdin, right? So this is another baraisa. So bishlam elamanda amral fisha in adam rasah shivazi ishto bevezdin. This would still apply. So again, we're talking about the two views, right? Ula said chena, and Rabbi Yochanan said that the person doesn't want the wife to have to go to bezdin. So now you're talking about her heirs. So the one who says that the case is that the person doesn't want the wife to go to court, that he, just like he doesn't want her to have to go to court, he doesn't want her heirs to have to go to court, because court, going to court is not a pleasant experience. So he doesn't want that to apply to her or her heirs. But the one who was Ula, right, who said it's because of Chena, that because you don't want the woman to feel a bad feeling about being married and not having this chena, meaning favor. Yarshaya my hein ika. So why would that apply in the case of the heirs? You know, it's not the same situation. So maybe when it comes to the heirs should be the ones that should still have to go back and do it through the court. So this is, the Gemara says, this is a more specific case. Targuma Ula, Ula says that the braisa is Kigon sheyarshta bita o chosa, that you're talking about with the widow's unmarried daughter, unmarried sister, were the ones who inherited the ksuba. So you would again be concerned that if the unmarried daughter, unmarried sister are the ones that have to do this, they again would somehow get this negative view of marriage, and it still would be a case of chena. Okay, fine. Now we're going to go to the Mishnah. We've already talked about this Mishnah a little bit. Machra ksuvasa o miksasa. So a woman sells her ksuba or a part of her ksuba. So she has a ksuba that's worth, let's say, 100 mana, and she is able to collect from property in order to collect it. And let's say she collects all of it, or she collects 10% of it, or whatever it is. Mishikna ksuvasa o miksasa, or if she used the ksuba or the part of the ksuba as security collateral for her to get a loan, or nitna ksuvasa la'achar miksasa, or she gave her ksuba or to another person, whether all of it or part of it. So in other words, she is accessing the ksuba either to take it, use it, or pledge it, whether all of it or part of it. Lo tim karsashar el bevezin. She's not allowed to go after the rest of the ksuba without going through the court. So by virtue of tapping into it at all, she then is required to go to the court to get any part of the rest of it. That's the first opinion. That's the Tana Kama. The Chachamim Amrim, they say differently. Mocheres he, she's allowed to sell property for the ksuba. Afilo arba v'chamesh pa'amim. She could even do it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Umecheres l'mazonos shelo bevezdin. And she's still, as long as she's collecting for her mazonos, she's allowed to do this without going to bezdin. So the fact that she tapped into part of the ksuba does not remove her ability to collect without going through the courts. And the Tanakhama basically is saying that once she taps into her ksuba, whether it's all of it or part of it, it ends her ability to collect mizonos. And the Chachamim say, no, it doesn't work that way. The Choseves, and what the Chachamim say is what she should do, is she should write when she sells for mizonos, l'mizonosai mecharti, that she should say that I sold this land for mizonos. And we learned last time that, last week, that the reason to do that is more of a good idea, so that people shouldn't think that she was constantly, she needed like a tremendous amount for mizonos. So this is able to justify why she's doing it. And something else, Ugrusha, this is what we had a problem with, before. Ugrusha, lo timka el bevezin. And the Grusha is not allowed to sell anything except with going through the court. And we had suggested earlier that might be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and we kind of tumbled that maybe that was the speculative, the Suffolk divorce, etc. So Masnisa Mani, whose opinion does our Mishnah talk about? Rabbi Shimon, maybe it's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. D'tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Machra, and this is, again, we talked about, this is all about that we're talking about partial, right? You have 100 and you sell 10 or whatever, and that's a concept. D'tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Machra ksuvasa, if a woman sold her ksuba. Mishkana ksuvasa, she used it as a collateral for a loan. Asa ksuvasa apotaki la'acher, she used it as a apotaki, that she used it to somehow use it to designate to repay some other kind of loan. Ein la mizonos. So once she does this, it removes her view of mizonos. So things in Divrei Meir is removed. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says, Afal Pishalo Machra V'lo Mishkana Ksuvasa, he says, even though she didn't sell or make collateral the entire item, elamachsisa, even a portion of it, ibda mizonesel. So he's the one who says that if she taps into her ksuba in any form, even a fractional amount, she loses her ksuba. So he would hold that there's a fractional element. So there might be a problem with this brisa and another brisa. Lameimer, the Rabbi Shimon, Savra, Lo Armina, Mixes, Kesef, Kol Chesef. Are we going to say that that Rabbi Shimon holds that? Does Rabbi Shimon hold that when we say kesef, meaning paying money, it means that if you pay part of it, you pay all of it? This is all talking about that when the pasuk talks about ksuba in Shmos, it says kesef yishkol kemoar abesulos, that he should pay her the amount that they would normally pay, right? And they use the word kesef to talk about the amount to pay, and kesef literally means silver, right? So when you're talking about the silver, are you talking about all of it, some of it, etc.? Ravad and Samri, Amrina, Mixas, Kesef, Shel, Kesef. So does Rabbi Shimon say that when you're talking about Kesef, it means the entire amount? And the Rabbana would say that when you're talking about Kesef, it talks about even a fraction of the fraction. The Ha Ipka Shamina, but we just heard the opposite. We just heard that maybe Rabbi Shimon is the one who says that you even a fraction of the collection works. However, the Tanya, we learned in a different Paraisa. It says, Vahu Isha Bivsulaha Bivsulaha. This talks about the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has to marry a Bivsula. And you can learn out maybe Prat Levogerish Akalu Bivsula. So many, many weeks ago, when we were learning about Bivsulos, about virginity, we had learned that there's an idea that when by the time the girl gets to be a Vulgaris, the time she gets to be 12 and a half, somehow physically her Bivsulim has diminished, right? Whatever that means. So she's not fully a basula, but even though she's a basula, her basulim physically has diminished. So Rabbi Meir says, Divrei Rabbi Meir, he says that because it says hu isha bivsuleha, that teaches us that once she's a bogeres and she's not, doesn't have this full physical basulim, whatever that means, then it's at that point she's no longer eligible for the Kohen Gadol. However, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, machshirim bogeres, they would allow the Bogeres to the Kohen Gadol to marry a Bogeres who has some sort of partial Besulim, whatever that means. So again, we're talking about the concept of full versus partial. So Rabbi Shimon here basically seems to say that the partial may be applicable in this case. So Hasa Mikari Plige. So what they're arguing about is the verbiage, how the pasuk is worded. Rabbi Meir Savar, he holds, Besula Afila Mixas Besulim. That when it uses the word Besula, on its own, it means that it means a woman that has any form of her basulim. So it could be a bogeres or older who's a basula. But so even though physically her basulim has diminished, it still works. When it says bisuleha, when it uses the word bisuleha, which is more extensive than basula, adika kula basulim. That means that the Kohen, that means you learn from this that the Kohen Gadol is only allowed to marry her if her Besulim is complete, meaning she's younger than a bogeres. And when it says bivsulah, that's what it actually says. It doesn't say besulah. It doesn't say besulah. It says bivsulah. So when it says bivsulah with the extra bays, it teaches us kedarka ain. If she had natural marital relations, then she's disqualified for a kohen gadol. However, if she had unnatural marital relations, then she is still eligible for the Kohen. So that's what he would learn from the use of the different words. So bisuleha, bisula means one thing, bisuleha means another thing, and bivsuleha means a third thing. However, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon interpreted a different way. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon Sarvi, they say, bisula shlema mashma. When you have the word bisula, it means someone who is a complete bisula. You know, being someone who's younger, bisuleha means afilu mixas bisulim, even if she has part of her bisulim, meaning someone who's a bulgaris is still okay. Someone who's a bulgaris is still okay, that she's still technically a bisula, even though her bisulim, her physical bisulim, has diminished. And bivsuleha, when it says bivsuleha, when it says with her bisulim, Shayu kol besuleha kayamin. That means that she has to be a complete besula in all manners, meaning what? Bain kedarka, bain shalo kedarka. Whether she is had relations naturally or unnaturally. In either case, she would then be ineligible to marry the Kohen Gadol. So, continuing on the discussion about partial payment or not partial payment, Hahi Issa, there was once a woman, the tafsa kasa de kasva kibitsuvasa, that she grabbed a silver cup from her husband's, who passed away's, estate as a partial payment of Riksuva, katva mizone, and then she went to the heirs and she also wanted mizonos. So again, we have this whole question. If she takes part of her Riksuva, is she still eligible for mizonos? Asa l'kame de Rava, so they came before Rava, Armel Hul Yasme, they said to her, Ziluhavi le mizonos, go give her mizonos. And the last dechashleha, the Rabbi Shimon de Amar, that people don't follow, people aren't concerned about the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that says, Luarmina mixas kesef kechol kesef, who said that when you collect some of the money, it's as if you collected all of it, and therefore you become ineligible for mizonos, at that point. So Shalachei Rabba Berei de Rava la Rav Yosef. So Rabba the son of Rav Yosef sent this question to him. Mocher Shalom Bevezdin. So when a widow sells her deceased husband's estate without going through the court, Sricha Shvua, Oin Sricha Shvua. Does she have to swear, take a Shvua, or does she not have to take a Shvua? And then he asked a further question. Maybe she has to make an announcement. Hey, I'm about to sell this land that belonged to this person. So Armalei, so they said to him, Hachraza lo kamayvele. I didn't ask about whether she has to make an announcement. Damarav Zera, Amarav Nachman, Almana Sheshamala Atzma, that if a woman went on her own and appraised the land on her own and grabbed it on her own to settle her own kasuba, lo asa lo kum. Her action to take the land for herself doesn't accomplish anything. What does that mean? That if the orphans want to come back and say, we're going to pay you the money that we owe you, you have to give us back the land. So her claiming the land doesn't really help us much. So, Heichi Dami, so what does this really teach us? What case do we talk about? Ida Achruz, if she went ahead and announced ahead of time that she is selling this or taking this land or appraising this land, Amailo Aslo Klum. Why would we say that it doesn't accomplish anything? Because once she announces it, it means that people could have come along and said that they want to buy it, or buy it from the orphans for the same amount of money. So there's no issue, no impact to the orphans. Ella lav lo achros, but when she didn't announce anything, we say when she doesn't announce anything, and her taking the land for herself, she's not accomplishing anything. Halacher, but if that means that if she went ahead and sold it to another person without making this announcement, Rav Zera would say, Masha Asa Asa, that what she did worked. That would imply that if she made a sale this way, it would go on his own. So that would mean that she doesn't have to, you know, announce or do anything if she's selling the land to another party. So in other words, if she does it for herself, it is one situation, and the orphans can take it back. If she sells it to someone else, then it's fine. So the olam to achras. What we're talking about here is a case where she announced it that it was for sale before she took it for herself, and the amalei and the you still say to her, man sham lich, who appraised this land for you? Kiha, maybe it's like this situation. The hugavra, there was this person, the akide gabe kissa the yasme, who left some sort of food for the yisomim somewhere to be safe, kept. Azal shamal anafshe ba'arba mea zuzay, and he went and he appraised that stuff that was there, and it said it was worth 400 zuz, and he would use it to collect on money that he was owed by the father of the orphans. Ikar, and then the food went up in value. Kam bishis ma, and it went up to 600 ma. Asalu kami de Rav Ami, and therefore the creditors then came to Rav Ami because there's a difference between the 400 and the 600. So Armaleh, he said to him, man shamla, who did this appraisal for you? That you didn't get this from the court, you didn't get it from it, you went ahead and did it on your own. So by doing it on your own, you subjected yourself to this problem. The Hilchasan, the bottom line is we learn out, Sricha Shvua, that the widow has to make a Shvua. V'eina Sricha Achraza. So bottom line, if the woman goes ahead and does this, she has to make a Shvua, but she does not have to make an announcement. So this will pause. Just a public service announcement. Next week, Tuesday, is Atanas, so we'll learn on Monday, and if need be, on Wednesday. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.